God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Jesus went to the upper room with his 12 apostles. It was the tradition and the custom in that time that the person, if he had a house of substance, he would employ some what we would call housekeepers. One of the people would stand when he had guests come in, because the shoes were sandals and open-toed, and they would get an accumulation of dirt and dust on their feet. And it was tradition to take your sandals off and then have your feet washed by the person who stood by the door in a way where you didn't even recognize him, because you didn't pay any attention to him because he was of no consequence. He was not part of the banquet feast. He was not the person who waited on the tables. He was the foot washer. And he stood there with his little ceremonial towel draped over his arm, and people would walk, and they would not even greet him. They just walked right by him and took their place. And then he would come around after all the guests were seated, and he would wash their feet with a basin and a towel. Every one of them in Jesus' entourage understood that action, and they admitted it, and they accepted it, and they participated in it because it was the norm for the culture. We don't know how he did it, but when they entered the house, Jesus broke away from the group, told the guy behind the door, "Take your seat, go sit down somewhere. I got this." He took the towel and he stripped off his outer garment so they didn't even recognize him because he was looking like everybody else. And so he stood there with his little towel. And when the boys sat down, here came Jesus with the basin and the bowl. And they looked at him, and he started washing their feet. And by the time he got to Peter, Peter said, you ain't washing my feet. Now, you look at that passage and you think that Peter was not allowing Jesus to wash his feet because Jesus was the Lord and he didn't want the Lord to wash his feet. Oh, no, 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 no. The Bible lets us know by Jesus' response that Peter felt that he was too proud to let Jesus wash his feet. Listen to me very carefully. If you don't let someone serve you, that's pride. Oh, no, you don't have to get me any water. Oh, no, God taught me this. I used to tell the adjutants all the time, y'all don't have to do this. God said, why are you so prideful? I said, I'm not prideful. In fact, it's just the opposite. I'm not letting them do anything for me. He says, yeah, but deep inside, you're angry when they don't. I said, well, they don't need to know that. He said, but when I tell them to do it, you don't let them do it. Why are you so prideful? I said, I ain't being prideful. I'm just not letting people put me on. He said, boy, they ain't putting you on no pedestal. They're bringing you water. Now take it and shut up. See, God don't talk to you like that. He's, you know, he's very Elizabethan with you, but he talked to me like he's from 25th and Diamond. I said, okay, Lord. And something broke when God began to teach me that allowing someone to serve you is the height of humility. Because it teaches you that if you can be served, bless God, you can serve somebody else. Jesus walked over and Peter said, no, 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 you can't do this to me. He said, man, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you don't have any part of me. What a statement. What a statement. What is he saying? If you don't let me serve you, then you don't understand why I've come. I didn't come to have people serve me. I came to wash your feet. Mr., Mrs. Minister, Mr., Mrs. Pastor, Mr., Mrs. Great Person, when was the last time you washed somebody's feet? We put down the Church of God in Christ. They got foot washing every third Friday. That ain't God. Well, I might not agree with it theologically, but I agree with the concept. At some point, ministers need to be thrust into a position to serve somebody. It must become part of your ministerial responsibility. For if you lose the spirit of serving, then you will minister from arrogance. We're good at telling people what to do, but not showing them what to do. You say, oh, I'm glad he ain't talking to me. He's talking to ministers. You lie like a Persian rug. All of us are ministers. All of us are called by God to serve somebody. Oh, I serve God. Well, brothers and sisters, aha moment. You cannot serve God apart from serving me. You cannot love God apart from loving me. You cannot receive forgiveness apart from forgiving me. In short, your actions toward God are predicated by your actions toward each other. If you don't serve your brothers and sisters, you are not serving God. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, you are not loving God. If you don't honor your brothers and sisters, you are not honoring God. Shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, earth beneath, when the waters underneath the earth. There is a diabolical trick of the devil. It's called mentoring. It is not of God. It is of man, but it's not bad. If it is done correctly, it is not bad. But the problem with our mentoring is we are not mentoring people to be greater than us. We want people to be slaves to us. We want them to sit with us, act like we act. Don't sit with anybody else. Don't talk to who I don't talk to. Don't speak to who I don't speak to. Just be a little me. That's not mentoring. That's idolatry. You are becoming their God. You are becoming what they are becoming what you want them to be. True mentoring is putting God in them until they can rise above you and do what you cannot do. But they can't do it as long as you control them in that little space called my theology. It is of the devil what we're seeing today. That's my mentee. They are not your mentees. That is my mentor. They are not your mentors. Not from a biblical perspective. Jesus was no one's mentor. Jesus did not have mentees. He had disciples. And a disciple is a learner, a student. And Jesus not only taught them principles, he modeled it before them. Many of our so-called ministers are teaching love but showing hate. Teaching that we should love, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. But he that loveth not is not of God. And we teach that to our so-called mentees, but then the mentees see that you ain't speaking to nobody. They see that when you come to church, you isolate yourself. You don't even lift your hand in corporate worship. You get off on your own, and you begin to just sit by yourself and worship God the way you want to work. You are teaching them division. You are teaching them when they come into the house of God, there is no corporate worship. David did not say, come together and get into your own world. He said, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. The idol is subtle. The creation of the idol is subtle. You don't even know it's being created in your life. People are trying to help you, but in reality, they're putting you in bondage. All of a sudden, your spirit has changed. You start acting, you used to be happy, you used to laugh, but now you're acting like that person. You just discern everybody. It's not discernment, it's judgment. You just judge everybody. Oh, look at them over there. That's why we don't sit over there, because those people make too much noise. Oh, look at them over there. We don't sit over there, because those people hug each other. Oh, look at them over, forget it. Oh, look at these people over here. We ain't just, see, the devil will always find something that you, but that's, let me tell you something, that's where you need to be. You need to be where the lifeless people are. If you are full of praise, then you ought to go over to the dead area. Say, I'm going to fire it up. And when you get there, party over here. Yes, I realize that when I'm feeding you the word of God, you need to stay focused on me. Listen to what I'm saying. But when that praise team is up, You ought not be sitting there like it's a concert. You ought to get in there with them. You ought to be singing with them. Even if you don't know the words, mouth them. Come up with your own words. Fill in. Just grab the melody. God will supply the harmony, but get some praise going. Strongholds are broken before I get up here. If you get some praise going, healing will take place before I get up here. If you get some praise going, and if you don't want to come to our praise party, then stay in the narthex until the word comes. But God wants praise. Watch. Watch this. Watch this. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, he says, to whom then will you liken God? If you're going to make an idol, then what's your example? See, you might look at a person's suit and say, oh, I like that suit, Deacon. I think I'm going to get me one just like it. I have a point of reference, his suit. But who are you going to liken to God? God is spirit. He don't have no body like you think. How can you carve a fish and worship it? Or in Aaron's case, a golden calf. How are you going to do that? He said, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoa. But how are you going to do that with God? He's everywhere at the same time. But he has not left his throne. While he's standing here preaching to you through this vessel, he's healing somebody in Sacramento, California. He is comforting somebody in the path of the hurricane. He is delivering somebody who is bound by spirits of schizophrenia. God is delivering people while he's standing here. How are you going to make an image of God? Brothers and sisters, you and I have strayed from God. We have established an idol that he never expected would come. Now listen to me very carefully because you need to process this. You probably won't grasp it at its infancy, but when you think about it, you'll grab a hold of it. For we have created the ultimate idol, and that is God himself. We have turned against God using God. And we have wrapped it up in the beautiful suit called ministry. I'm working for God, but I'm so busy working for God that I haven't spent time with God.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10217P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.